Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Bird. What's up, man? Rick Camacho, dog. You know how we do it, man. I know you be traveling, doing your thing. Hit me up, dog. I need an intro from you for my show. So Kiss Radio.
If you can't take the heat, nah, that's too cliche. My man DJ Flicks always do it his way. From the bay to the valley, he always put it down with the street level thump and the underground sound. Now you can find him on the .com, Soul Kitchen Radio. Save it to your favorites, man, that's the best way to go. From the up and coming to the vet on the grind, he plays the kind of music that'll stimulate your mind. Is it a sign of the times when the clock strikes 11 and Slick starts to reppin' with Omizi in a session? One time I missed a Monday but didn't really trip. I just subscribed on iTunes and downloaded quick with a click or a tap. He's bound to get you right on your desktop connect or your handheld device. So tell your cousin and your friend about the hottest show with Slick Rick Camacho on Soul Kitchen Radio. If you haven't heard it's Soul Kitchen Radio, man, let me tell you, this is Soul Kitchen Radio. Slick Rick Camacho, it's Soul Kitchen Radio. Big Omizi, Soul Kitchen Radio. Crazy ball heads down with Soul Kitchen Radio. Tell your grandmama, this is Soul Kitchen Radio. You are now tuned to Soul Kitchen Radio. New music Monday, Soul Kitchen Radio.
You're tuned into the baddest radio show on the internet.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. What's up? It's your man Rick Camacho back with my man Big Omizi.
Yeah, man. What it do, man? Good Monday to everybody, man. What it do?
Man, happy to be back on another radio show. Today we got a hot show. We got Chef Desmond. You can follow him on Twitter at That Skinny Chef. He's going to come on. This dude is rising. He's going to the Olympics in London to go cook.
He really is skinny, too. I'm looking at his website.
He really is. And and also, we got the man from the prank calls, Roy Wood Jr., is going to be on the show today. So that's going
to be fun.
That's going to be a fun one. Also, Brian, and first, let's start off with our favorite right here. Sweet Gail is on the line. Sweet Gail, what's up?
Yeah, last week I felt like an orphan puppy.
Oh.
Get to me. Woo! I'm going to cry. Oh. Like hell. So I'm still looking for someone to exploit me, damn it. You know, it's hard to be exploited.
Same thing.
I try. Is there no one out there in your radio land who wants to exploit a fat, quirky woman?
I did have a question.
Get some money?
For Sweet Gail. Sweet Gail, I got a question for you. You in San Francisco?
Oh, yeah.
I wish you would tell us, because I was sitting in the car just a minute ago driving from Davis, and somebody has a book. It's called the Conservative Side of San Francisco, when they show the heaven and the hell of San Francisco. They say they showed all the good, the wharf and all that shit. Then all of a sudden they show all the hippie crackheads and bums sleeping on the streets and pissing and shitting in the streets and shit like. So I wanted to know, like, what part of San Francisco are you usually in? Do you mix and mingle within, you know, in those realms?
In those realms? What do you mean?
Like, do you,
I don't
like,
try to go to the places where they're going to shoot you. basically, I just go to different comedy things. Back to my former thing, I want to be exploited. Exploited to the fullest. I want to make some money. What is the point of being crazy like if you can't make no money out of it?
Because everything. I'm gonna tell you why. Because with your personality, right? Which yeah, and you appear to have to be a very charismatic person with a lot of energy, and whatnot. But I feel like you need the visuals. You need to walk around with an HD camera or have somebody follow you. And you need to put some of your exploits on YouTube and allow the people to see.
Oh no, this guy! I told you, this guy. He's a student in a film school. Our art school, he's been studying film for 3 years, and he came up with this little documentary he's doing, and it's really quirky. And you guys never seen me really fly, as I call it, or go nuts, or be colorful.
I was doing that
some weeks ago at one of the comedy places outside, and he was right there with the camera taking pictures. You know, he did this as a school project, but I think he's going to put some of it on Facebook or something. And then he says, when he gets done with this, we're going to work on a couple of my story ideas. I have a couple of Well, I think a really good story idea is that you can make a full movie out of it, but we're going to do what one key scene from each of these story ideas and see if someone will take attention from it and want to come over and film a real movie.
Well, you need to make that happen. You need to get something on YouTube ASAP just so we can see it and we can promote it. We can't promote. We can't promote the product unless we have it.
I agree. We can't promote it unless we got it.
You can't exploit something if we don't have our fingers on it.
I always like to remind people I am on the computer. Some nice people put me on the computer because I'm electronically forget it. But my strip doing that strip in that Dirty Tricks bar, you can see that on the computer. Everyone can Google Sweet Yale.
I give you an assignment. I give you 1 week to start a Twitter page.
Yeah, I don't have internet.
I give you 1 week.
You don't want to be exploited.
See, that's what I'm saying, Camacho. I don't even have an internet hookup.
Hey,
you know who wants to be exploited?
That's what I'm looking for, a partner to be exploited. A guy let me buy his
Twitter
page
by next week. Oh shit, I'm keeping it real with you.
He was nice enough to let me get a little slice of his business. You know, he let me buy into his business.
Yeah.
And this guy seems to be a real winner. You know, I asked him if I could buy into his business, and he let me.
When you get somebody that's interested in working with you and they're willing to put forth the effort, you got to give them an E for effort. But always stay mindful.
Like I say, this student who's been studying film for 3 years about to graduate. He's doing it. And this other guy, he actually has a business. And I asked him if I could invest in his business, and he let me. He was nice enough to do that. And this guy's a real go-getter. I think he's going to really produce something good. I'm a nice lady who I like to play tough.
Pirate, my name is Jack Sparrow. Take off my pants, she can see my flesh arrow. Make sure to wax, use your mom's hair. You'll be amazed when I come in your hair. Pull up the anchor, cause we're leaving dry land. Dip below deck with a tick in your hand. Anchor us away and shiver me timbers. We like to fuck ladies with our 8-inch members.
Love me hookers who be a cabbie. Ain't that lemons and limes so contract it to scabby.
Drop the anchor, give that hoe a shout.
Cause I'm using my compass to find a nappy dugout.
So anyway, one thing I do want to do before we get this show started, Omizi, Brian, are you there?
Yeah.
Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Brian. Brian, Brian.
Hello, Red Sox fan. Hello.
Red Sox fan, are you in? Do you see him on the thing?
No, I don't see. I see him on the thing, but I don't see him. He's not going, so.
He's not talking. Okay, but one thing I do want to do before we get started.
Yeah.
I want to pay homage to somebody who's really been taking care of us on the Twitter world. 22,000 followers. He's tweeting our show all the time.
Yeah.
Talking about Black Raw, man.
Oh, man. Shout out Black Raw all the time.
Shout out Black Raw. I'm playing the Striving Artist real quick. We'll be right back. Shout out to Black Raw. Follow him at BLKRAW. And send some of them Twitter followers over my way. I ain't even. So get the ready. We'll be right back.
Peace.
This your boy Jay Gibb, the soul of the city, and you are in the kitchen, right here on Soul Kitchen Radio. We cooking up that good gumbo, that good beef stew for you. You dig? Holla at it.
Hey mama,
I'm
telling you, I love you. This some real shit right here. I'm trying to get from the hood to the burbs, you know what I'm talking about?
I wanna get signed by the house for my mama. Finally have a bank account with a couple commas. And I'm tired of living life broke, it's the hardest. Walking down the street, just another starving artist. I wanna get paid so I can go and fix my credit. Finally pay for something with a car that isn't debit. Gonna be a hard road, but I'll never get it. Ain't nobody stopping me from going where I'm headed.
Mama. I really appreciate it. The days that I was faded, plus you told me I would make it. I believe, so I say shit. The feelings can't replace it. Pop's telling me I'd be nothing but just basic. Face it. Chuck Taylors is what I lay shit. Hustled on the block, so homie, that's what I pay with. Light bill, rent bill, nigga, this the same shit. Different hoods and poverty, you ask me, we one bitch. Ha. Now I'm on like a perfect pitch, something like a Gucci stitch. From the hood, so won't snitch. Y'all 48 hours, so nigga, dig your own dick. On my 50 cents, she get rich or die trick. 365, not enough, like a cream puff. Dudes in the hood walk around like they so tough. So you put that chrome light and put it to they dome, watch they ass fall out.
I wanna get signed by the house for my mama. Finally have a bank account with a couple commas. And I'm tired of living life broke, it's the hardest. Walking down the street just another starving artist. I wanna get paid so I can go and fix my credit. Finally pay for something with a car that isn't debit. Gonna be a hard road, but I know I'll get it. Ain't nobody stopping me from going where I'm headed.
I wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? Listening to pockets, therapeutic yourself. My brother told me keep pushing, man, it's good for your health. Brother died in 98, so he left his estate. Microphone and headphones, man, this feeling is great. Thinking about my cousin Mikey, man, he locked up state. These motherfucking crackers, man, they made a huge mistake. We need to take it back to trial so we can beat this case. Swear to God, my nigga only locked up based on race. Now all I got is memories, I keep them locked in my safe. A couple faded pictures, man, but yet they won't get replaced. We all waiting on the day that you can walk through them gates. It's a hard situation with the times that you face. But Aunt Molly telling everybody keep the faith. So we did, now we going all out, kid.
I wanna get signed by the house for my mama. Finally have a bank account with a couple commas. And I'm tired of living life broke, it's the hardest. Walking down the street just another starving artist. I wanna get paid so I can go and fix my credit. Finally pay for something with a car that isn't debit. Gonna be a hard road, but I know I'll get it. Nobody stopping me from going where I'm headed. I wanna get signed by the house for my mama. Finally have a bank account with a couple commas. And I'm tired of living life broke, it's the hardest. Walking down the street just another starving artist. I wanna get paid so I can go and fix my credit. Finally pay for something with a car that isn't debit. Gonna be a hard road, but I know I'll get it. Ain't nobody stopping me from going where I'm headed.
Yeah, here we are. We're back again. Brian, I still can't hear you. Brian, he's on there. He's on his Skype. He's trying to talk.
You got to hit the mute button. You got the mute button on, huh?
You got that mute button on, bro. Unhit that mute button, and then you come right on in. You sure can. Come on, join us.
I'm looking at this World Star. It got this dude that, he said, all this for $20. He ate 4 habanero peppers. He starts shitting and spitting on himself.
Holy shit.
All for $20.
For $20?
$20, 4 habaneros.
Damn.
The funniest shit ever.
That is crazy, man. People do whatever for... I learned in radio, man, people do whatever for like a shirt or for, you know, whatever you want to give them.
Yeah, like that, did you hear about that chick that drunk all that water?
Yeah, yeah, the one in Sacramento.
Man, I don't know what she was winning. Probably some radio tickets or some shit. It definitely wasn't worth that.
Yeah.
She died.
Yeah, so this guy don't know how his Skype works. But anyway, I want to get one of these prank calls out of the way because I don't think the people got a chance to listen to this one that we played last week.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to play it again. Then let me talk to Tina. This is Roy Wood Jr. We're going to have him on the phone. In fact, I'm going to give him a call in a little while. And we're going to get him on the phone. So stay tuned right now. It's Soul Kitchen Radio. I'm going to get Roy Wood Jr. on the phone right now.
Hello?
Go put Tina on the phone, son.
Who?
I need to get back with Tina.
Who's this?
This is her dude? Who's you?
I mean, this is her husband, man. Who is this?
Lord Lamek the Emperor, a.k.a. Black Sun. Trying to get back with her after being trying to see what's good. Just got back out of jail. I need to get back with Tina. For real. With the death. No disrespect to you, dude.
Listen, my man. It is disrespect to call my house, man. How you get my number.
Locked up with Mo, son. I got connects.
Okay.
I had it before you, son.
It
niggas.
Don't matter if you had it before me, man. This is my wife. You understand what I'm saying? You calling my crib. How are you calling my crib? My man Mo, if he gave you my number, that's a whole different issue.
I'm trying to get back with her. Just trying to see, be sure. Maybe ain't something there that she's still feeling. Know what I mean? With the deal.
How you trying to get back with my wife?
Made love to mad niggas in the bank, son.
What happened?
Made love to mad niggas when I was locked up. So I used to think about your wife. Because it is what it is. Because me and her don't have work.
Give my number, man.
Who is that?
Some nigga named
Lamik. This is Lord Lamik Shabazz, a.k.a. Black Sun God, the Emperor, Junior.
Okay, listen, my man.
Lord Lamik, the Emperor.
How you get my number, man?
Address me as Lord Lamik, the Emperor, and
but
we will talk.
I'm not addressing you like nothing. How did you get my number, my man? That's what I'm talking about.
Son, if you want to meet me somewhere and do something, then you do what you need to do.
You talking to a man right here. You understand what I'm saying? My sister's 15 years old, man. You got a mental issue or something, my man? She's 29 years old, my man. Only reason I'm conversating is you just mentioned my man Mo, and I don't know how you got my number. You understand what I'm saying?
Are them breasts, them titties still mad juicy?
Yo, man, now you disrespecting, man.
I'm just saying. When I got locked up, I did juvie. Think about Tina all the time.
Yo, my man, I don't give a fuck about none of that, man.
I had a cellmate, right? Back in 92, had the cellmate, right? Big, just fat, greasy type nigga. Just fat, greasy, slob type cat, know what I mean? And he had these big, fat man breasts.
I don't know what the fuck this all about, yo.
You know, I throw on something romantic, you know, like some Ralph Tres fan or some Nate Dogg. And we used to get it on, you know.
I'm going to fuck get my number, first of all, and the whole nine.
I tell you, you gave me your number, son, on the real. On the real. Your wife gave me your number. Because it's a prank phone call. It's comedian Roy Wood Jr. What's going on with you today, bro? How you feeling, man?
You can't just think about this is a comedian. Don't play me like that, man.
That's not funny. He said it's not funny.
He's mad at me?
He's mad at me. He's half asleep. Thank you.
You have a good one, all right?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio.
Atlanta. Just got my hair cut, you know, by an Iranian guy. Really nice guy. Did a good job with my hair. You know?
Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio.
Real nice guy in Atlanta. Did a good job on Brian's hair. I love that little promo right there. And Brian's yelling at his computer right now. It's this guy and it's not working.
Oh, my God.
What are you trying to do? You trying to do it on his Sprint phone?
I don't know what the hell he's doing.
He trying to do it on his Cricket or his other one?
His Metro.
His Metro. You can't, I mean, you know.
It won't work that way, buddy.
He's trying to use 3G and shit, like, you feel me?
It just won't work that way.
Tell him to call. Just text him and tell him to call in.
I know. In fact, I'm just going to call him.
That's all you got to do.
Hey, so I went out and I seen Think Like a Man yesterday. And let me tell you about that movie. Oh, my God, that movie was so good. Hilarious. If you've seen Think Like a Man this weekend, which toppled over the Hunger Games, right? Yeah. Killed the Hunger Games.
33 million, yeah.
And let's get the numbers straight so everybody knows. Brian, you there now?
Yeah, I'm here. Why can't you hear me? I have my microphone on and everything.
Well, obviously you don't. Turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
Turn that computer down.
Okay. Is this a cell phone that you call me on?
Yes, it's a cell. I called you on your cell phone.
No, are you on a cell phone right now?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm on the cell phone right now, and I just called you on there.
Okay, because I don't have minutes right now. That's the reason. I mean, I'm trying to get on this.
Don't have minutes right now.
Oh, my God. I told you it was a cricket.
Be a winner.
I told you it was a cricket.
All right, so check it out. The top movies of the week. Let me get come
my
on.
My Flixster didn't refresh for some reason. Maybe they hating on the tech.
Here we go. Think Like a Man. $33 million this weekend.
That's what's up.
Number two, The Lucky One. Never heard of it. $22.8 million. Never heard of that one. Have you heard of that one? The Lucky One?
Oh yeah, that's like a little sappy little Zac Efron movie where he was in the battlefield, and I guess a picture of another soldier's wife or girlfriend kept him alive in the battlefield, so that when I guess the dude died, he went at her and they fell in love, some shit like that.
Wow, $22 million for some bullshit ass movie. All right, $14 million for The Hunger Games, which gross to date has made $356 million so far. Last week, it was in first, and it was in first for the last 5 weeks. Let me see. Chimpanzee, which is something that I do want to see.
Oh, please.
Come on, man. I got kids. We
please, wait for the DVD.
I got Chimpanzee.
Now I wish I would go to a big-ass movie theater just to see some fucking chimpanzee jump around and... Maybe if it was like what's the one with Jane Goodall where she died, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah,
that's when you feel. I've already fell for that trap.
No, we did see. We went and seen the lion one. I forgot the name of that one.
Oh my god,
we seen that lion one. We seen that one at the big movie theater.
Oh, IMAX or something.
No, we lion seen King? El Capitan in Hollywood.
It's only worth it if you go. If it's on IMAX, then maybe it makes sense, man. But I'm not gonna pay no good money, man. I'd rather find something else, like Think Like a Man or Hunger Games or something to watch. Three Stooges or something, Cabin in the Woods or something.
Yeah, yeah. So I we went and seen it at El Capitan in Hollywood. And El Capitan in Hollywood. So, you know, that's already hella money for that.
Right. Movies don't went up anyway, huh? Like 920, even for a matinee, it's like 925.
Yeah, man.
That's sick.
We still trying to find ways to sneak into the movies, man.
Hey, remember you can go for like, what was it, like the matinee was like $4.25 or something?
Remember the dollar movies?
Damn.
Remember the dollar movies in Sacramento where they have it at the Bird Ranch?
Oh, Birdcage, you're right. I was like, this fool crazy, but then I was like, yeah, you telling the truth. It was $1.
Yeah, at the Birdcage.
Cool. They showed the old school movies, right?
Yep. The ones that just got out of the theaters.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there you go. But the food was mad.
The drive-in movies, those are best.
Yeah, definitely. We go to the drive-in movies. I seen the Three Stooges at the drive-in movies the other day.
And use a big.
Yeah.
Use a big drive-in, going to Disney World, going to Black Flash Mountain, going
We do it all, man. We do it all.
Yeah.
Hey, motherfucker, you just named four movies you just seen in the last 2 weeks. Ain't that much time in the world.
I see them all.
But how was the Three Stooges? How was the Three Stooges?
Three Stooges was actually good. I liked it.
Wow. But see, man, I'm gonna have to start gauging your opinion on movies.
I tell you what,
You just told me, first of all, you just told me Think Like a Man was good. You just told me Chimpanzees was good, and the Lions was good.
I like movies, man.
Just don't see Lorax. I don't know. That movie made me.
I seen the Lorax. I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. It made me really mad. Me really upset. I felt like everybody in that movie was just too weak to say anything as everybody was getting beat for trees. You know,
It was really dumb. Yeah. Hey, Mike, you're gonna be happy to hear this.
Yeah, because the Lorax was weak than a motherfucker to be all the way true. I thought the Lorax was a G. The Lorax was a puny. He didn't even talk a good game.
No, he didn't do shit. Yeah, he didn't do anything.
I thought he was gonna bust somebody up. He wasn't busting nothing up.
Hold on, guys. Let me get this because we got him on the phone. He keeps hanging up. Let's see. He's probably saying hello, 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 and he's still on hold. Hold on.
Yeah, very disappointed with that movie.
Hello, hello, Roy, are you there? Hello. So get ready, Roy. You there? Oh man, that's
who? That's 781.
That's Brian. All right, that's Mike. That's Mike.
So you have 415, is that him?
Oh, it's the 205.
Oh no, that's not up there.
You don't see a 205 up there?
It's not dropped. The one I seen.
Hold on, one movie I liked was
It's called Jeff Lives at Home. That movie, I don't know if you guys heard about that one. It's pretty kind of
was Ryan just for his mama.
Yes, close enough, but it's man, it was really good. It's kind of
touching. No, but
I did
see I did see that 21 Jump Street. That was pretty funny too.
I like 21 Jump Street. That was good. See, I like a lot of movies, man. It's all good.
I like movies too. I'm just keeping I just some shit I ain't going to see though, like in the theaters. I just wait for it to come out and hit up the Blockbuster joint.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no more Blockbuster, buddy.
But that's probably because I'm always gone on usually gone on the weekends, so I ain't never when shit come out I can't go right to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, no, movies are expensive.
Okay, hold on. You see that 205 now? Is it there?
Hold on. Yeah. Nope.
Okay, we're just going to have to keep it moving, man. He'll call back. All right.
Does anybody know why my Skype's not working?
Only you would know that, my friend. Only you would
know. No minutes. You don't have no minutes, so they deactivated it.
Oh, yeah.
Pay your money, they're going to activate the voice.
Why would I? I have a speaker on here, right? I mean,
we don't see your phone, Brian.
I'm talking about my computer, dude.
You don't have to call for a service call.
Oh, some computers don't have built-in
speakers.
Built-in speakers, yeah. You do have to get an external mic, or you have to go through your. You got a PC?
Yeah, I'm on a computer right now.
Yeah, you got to go. Maybe you have to go through it and go through the systems management and go straight to your to see if you got to activate the mic.
Okay.
Because you might be on, you might be set to external mic when you need to switch it to internal mic.
Something like that.
You smell me?
And this one right here is one of the first. We broke this one, $33 million this weekend, and we broke it. You remember when I said, hey, I got this brand new Jennifer Hudson song?
Right.
So we're going to throw it down right now. This is Think Like a Man. Go out there and see it. Steve Harvey is a genius.
You still didn't even explain it.
How you love love?
Okay.
I do like it. How you love love? How you love love? Yeah. How you love love? You love love? Yeah.
You made that again.
Love, 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 love. You gotta act like a woman. A thing like a man. Why you told me?
Time costs money and it's so expensive. Versace linen got these women blowing kisses. Leaning on my auto, she so photogenic. Can I take a picture? She my Mona Lisa. Living like a princess in a fairy tale. You know them people up in Barney's show and tell. Bentley backing out of Neiman, seen a ponytail. 5-carat yellow diamond, you don't know me well. Penthouse at the Trump, sit on Collins Ave. She caught an attitude, I had to call a cab. You don't understand this altitude I'm balling at. I'm at the game on the wood, where the owner's at.
Oh, your friends are the same, boy, you tell me everything. Yeah, you show me how to stay, you're the only one to blame.
Radio, Soul Kitchen Radio, think like a man, act like a man. You got to think like a woman, act like a man. That right there, the movie was hilarious. I really am promoting it because
shout
I really
to,
liked it.
Shout out to Jennifer Hudson. You know, her, they got that trial for her her brother-in-law who, you know what I'm saying, is you know, trial for murder, killing her her mother, her brother, and her nephew.
Everything,
you
know? Man. That's the toughest thing. She's... Shout out to her for being strong, for going through that kind of shit.
That's real talk, man. That shit was crazy.
Just when you start getting real big and you're up and, you know, you got a movie, you got your single, you're doing all these commercials, and then you got to deal with that shit again.
Man, and for it to be your brother-in-law over some jealous shit that didn't even have nothing to do with her. It's just, it said some flowers came to the house. And he thought that it was from her sister's new boyfriend or some shit. And he got jealous and came back and shot all three of them. You know what I'm talking about?
It's ridiculous.
Sickness.
God, man. Shout out to Jennifer Hudson for that, man. So, Brian, one thing we were talking about earlier was how long it's going to take for Tim Tebow to start. And what was it? What was the bet, the six-game bet?
Yeah, so I'm watching First Take with Skip Bayless and them on ESPN, and Wale is on there, rapper Wale, and he made it was the same subject, like, you know, basically how many games that you think that Tim Tebow would start this coming up season. So Wale bet that he would cut his hair off, completely off, if Tim Tebow starts at least 6 games, and he bet Skip Bayless that.
Well, they were talking about turning Tim Tebow into like a running back or like maybe like a halfback.
Now we're talking about starting as a quarterback, though.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a quarterback. I don't think they're going to do that.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I said it before, but, you know, like, there's two quarterbacks in the league that's soft as hell. And that's to me, and that's Romo and Sanchez. You know what I'm saying? Like them dudes, man, they, you know, so, and I was like, to me, Tim Tebow, shit, he had a better record than both of them cats. And he played harder and played with more heart. You feel me? So, and I'm a firm believer that with training, you know what I'm saying, and constant training and constantly people, you know, he a strong dude, so constantly people, you know, believing in God and constantly trying to prove the naysayers wrong, that he gonna be a better thrower, cause anybody you can get better at throwing shit. That's you know what I mean. You can't just develop speed and strength, which he has both, but let him develop that arm. Just like they, you know, Mike Vick couldn't really throw all that good. He was a run first type dude. You know what I mean? Any good quarterback coach can make somebody a good passer. You smell me?
Definitely. Hey, Omizi, one thing. I know Brian's sitting there, and we talk about Tim Tebow, and his eyes are probably rolled in the back of his head right now. And this is going
his
through
his pants are probably. His pants are probably off right now.
You, I like me, and you pass a good look. Trusted. We for sure gonna make heads turn in public, and anywhere we go, we get red carpet.
with me though.
She could be that superstar.
That dedication to
yeah, when you watch the superstar couple with Tim Tebow.
Oh my God.
There it is. Right, Brian? See?
Not even. He's like, huh? He's like, oh, it went over his head.
Mike, did you hear that? Did you like that?
Oh yeah, it was a nice sweet beat.
So, nice sweet beat. So Mike, what do you got going on, man? I know you got some comedy stuff going on. What's happening?
Well, right now I'm getting ready to go to San Jose. I signed up to be on the show. It's called Do the Hustle. And basically, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to sing this one little song that I made up a while back ago for American Idol.
Let's hear it.
And it's basically, you want me to sing it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, well, it's in my foreign zone. But it goes something like this. It's like, walking down the street, I saw her eyes and I felt the heat. I want to approach, but I'm a little scared, 'cause this effect I have on all of these ladies. For some reason now they want to have my babies, and I don't try, I simply do. Baby girl, I put the spell on you. I never asked for it to be this way. Days go by and they never stay. I take my love and I give it all to you, but you can't be my sugar boo. No, can't be my sugar boo. My sugar boo.
I'm gonna tell him just like we told Sister Girl earlier, you're gonna have to do some visuals. You gotta do some visuals, man. I need to see a video because, like, you know how they did Boats and Hoes? How we played for Boats and Hoes earlier? I need to see Sugar Boo. Is that what it's called, Sugar Boo?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you create that element and let me see the visuals of it. That's your assignment.
Done deal. Yo, so check it out. Kitchen Radio. We're still waiting on Roy Wood Jr. We're going to get him a gas face in a little bit, and then we're going to move on to Chef Desmond at That Skinny Chef.
Yeah, because I want to ask him for a recipe anyway. Like, you feel me?
Man, he got all kinds. I just heard some, like, the book he got is called Seafood, The Way I See It, S-E-A-I-T, right?
Yeah.
I see it. And I found out today that I think he's allergic to seafood. So this is, like, different. And this is different. We're going to ask him about all that stuff, man. Chef Desmond's doing big things. We'll be right back. It's Soul Kitchen Radio. I got to play this new shit right here.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Let's go. Stick with it, y'all.
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 Make me rich.
Let's go.
Make me rich.
Let's go.
Make me rich.
Let's go.
Make me rich. Yeah, Papa got a new bag. Won't quit till I'm frozen with a toe tag. Stay screaming, work to get the shit I never had. With six, with glisten, you do the math. I'm on a money making mission, I'm all in. Tell your mama, your sister, tell a friend. 2012 hustle like the world will never end. Like I just bought a house in a new Benz. Like I'm flying first class to my destination. Biggie ring, 10 carats, no hesitation. Foot on the gas, no stop signs, you better get yours. 'Cause I'ma get mine. Mommy on tour, catch me online. Always on the floor, never write the blind. Stick with it, records, you know what's our time. Yo, we knocking down doors and taking our shine. Home run. But don't get caught with the smoking gun. You don't want to see me having it, I'm having you.
put that on my son and my lobo. Meet chicks in the upscale part of town, but I take them all downtown with my ram. Gotta want us to be rich to be around me. Nothing sick with it, then it's all family. Thomas D&T, loud rule hitter, 24-7 uptown realness. Next man can't speak on my behalf. Feet to toe, walking on the rich path. Up all night waiting on the mailman. Mailbox money, and all the f*** love me.
Where you go, where you go, where you go, baby?
Got me looking like a lick with a 50 round. Don't try that shit. If a brick don't shine, I don't buy that shit. Real hood boss, I don't lie about shit. Check that weak nigga, baby, he ain't about shit. I'm more like a mortgage, you only rent. Safe full of money, 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 I'm a copper. Used to hide the Gouda from the roots in my sock drawer. Got a crib now, but I'm about to buy a Costa. Everything's bulky round here like Costco. Chops and candles, you stopping my cash flow. Calling my Rambo, he handle it pronto. He handle it pronto. He handle it pronto.
Radio show on the internet.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Oh man, that shit was off the hook, Omizi.
Oh man, that's that Make You Rich off that new album, man. You dig?
That's it. What's the album called?
It's called you know what I'm talking about, Duality. It's called Duality, and that was my partner La Rude Hard Hitter and my other partner Work Baby. You smell me? That's the first single. You smell me? Off my new joint.
They did that shit, man. Hey, on the line.
Video coming soon, though. Video coming soon.
Hey, let me tell you, on the line, finally, we get the man of our prank calls. Every day at 12:15, you get a hella funny prank call. Here he is, Roy Wood Jr.
Yo, what's going on with you clowns, man? What up?
You know, we're over here about to give you a gas face. You know, when we...
Nah, man. I'm off in this radio station. I'm in radio. Why would I stand y'all up, man? I'd be getting mad when cats be double clutching on me, man.
You know, implement the gas face, man.
Nah, man, I'm cooling. I'm at this radio station down here in Birmingham. We got a garbage ass cell signal in here. I think they do that on purpose to make us do work.
We appreciate
it. It is what it is.
Hey, man, definitely appreciate you taking time out of your day, man. I wasn't doing nothing today, man.
You know, I'm down here. We down here, you know, in Alabama, stretching and rehearsing, getting ready for our, you know, George Zimmerman not guilty riots.
So his bail was, what, $150,000? He already out, right?
Here's the thing, though, about Zimmerman, man. Cats want to be mad about Zimmerman getting out. Where the hell is he going to go? He's still technically in jail. Y'all act like Zimmerman going to be at Walgreens renting a red box. Going home and picking up a Little Caesar hot and ready before he go home and holler at a chick. Zimmerman ain't going to be in the club. You think you can holler at a chick? When you got a murder hanging over your head, you ain't thinking about getting no ass.
And he got an ankle monitor anyway. He on the ankle monitor, and he can't go out at nighttime, no way.
Hey,
Roy, this fool brought up his own website. The George Zimmerman helped bail me out.
Bitch, wouldn't you? If you face it, you think I wouldn't? Man, I would have been put something up on my webpage. You think I was begging for votes on Last Comic Standing on NBC? Nah, no.
Hey,
nah,
but
you,
hey,
you ain't seen nothing.
Hey, let me ask you this though: do you think the youngster put tips on him? Like he put, he gave him the 1-2.
It don't matter. It don't matter. If Trayvon Martin hit him with a 2-piece in the face, he should still go to jail for losing a fight to a 17-year-old. So either way, you still need to do some time, either for murder or just for being an old-ass motherfucker that can't
sucker.
Fight.
Just for being a sucker.
Exactly.
<You're> a sucker.
Either way, we still got to lock you up, young man.
Hey, we should make him... We should make a like run through like the woods and like where you in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
With no clothes on in the summertime and let the mosquitoes get to them.
That ain't what you want.
You know what I'm talking about? Let him get hit 150,000 times all over his body.
And a mosquito can get up your pants leg when you wearing pants. So imagine where you're gonna get bit when you naked.
That's what
you
I'm
ever
saying.
Wake up with a mosquito bite just in a random spot? But like I know I had on drawers today. Mosquito.
All
bite me on the inside.
I was out there in Arkansas, and them chiggers and ticks be getting you, bro. They got them out there in Alabama.
Yeah. But see, I don't do that, man. See, y'all too deep off in them woods. See, you out there looking for weird stuff.
Shit, man. That was crazy.
Nah, I try to stay out of the woods, man. It's Alabama. Ain't no black people in the woods. So, you know, I already know if you black and you headed into the woods, you already know you're running into something that traditionally prepared you for.
We was in Arkansas because I toured with E-40. We was in Arkansas and we pulled up at one of the gas stations. It was pretty warm outside. So, we had the windows down and shit. We was chilling, feeling good. Next, you know, we get in the car, right, turn the air conditioner on, roll the windows up, right? So I'm sitting in the back seat and something just bit me in my forehead. Pow! I'm like, what the fuck? So next thing you know, I'm like, damn. And 40 was like, damn, something just bit me on my arm. I'm like, then I turned on the little light inside the car and shit. It was like about 20 mosquitoes in that motherfucker just going to work on us.
There it is.
Oh, man.
Ain't no such thing as fresh air in the summer, man.
Man, we learned that the hard way. You did.
Hey, does it rain golf balls in Alabama?
Yeah, but you know it's different over here, man. Because you know we get them thunderstorms where, like, it's that end of the world tornado time right now. You know, from May probably through like the back end, from March all the way through like the back end of May. It's just every day. You might die today. That's basically what the weatherman is saying. And, like, really, that's all the weatherman is saying. When he's saying tornado watch, tornado warning, he just going, look, it might be your ass, might not, 74 degrees.
Well, let me ask you these two questions about that particular subject. One, are all people able to get tornado insurance? And two, why, if you know every year you had to deal with the same shit, why not get up out?
Well, I'll go with the first one. The first one is, with like, tornado insurance, man, like, a lot of folks just ain't educated. I'll be real. Because, you know, most of the folks that get messed up in these tornadoes, it be poor people. It be poor neighborhoods. Like, we had a tornado come through. It's about to be the anniversary of it now. Last year came through Tuscaloosa and came through one of the poorest neighborhoods in Birmingham and killed 50 people. But the thing about it, If you just living to eat, you know what I'm saying, you ain't got time for them insurance premiums. Because, see, the way they get you with these insurance companies, you got homeowners, all right, that's fine, but you need wind insurance or you need tornado insurance. Like, you can't just get tornado. It's kind of like the way they screwed people over Katrina. It was like, yeah, you had hurricane insurance, but the flood is what messed up your house. And you didn't have flood insurance. Therefore, you're
sick.
Not covered. Even though the hurricane caused, you see what I'm saying? So you have to get so many different kinds of insurance that the average person that's just living check to check, they can't afford half of that shit, man. As for the second thing, why not leave and move about a tornado alley?
Right.
My thing is this, man. Wherever you go, you're going to get hit over the head with something. So just choose your disaster. You know,
because we choose earthquakes out here.
I respect y'all for the earthquakes because earthquake. Because here's the thing, tornado pretty much all year tornado came. We didn't have tornadoes hit damn near Thanksgiving. but it only kills, you know, 10, 11 people on average. And, you know, it's
right.
It's manageable. But when that earthquake come,
man,
when that it ain't going to be but every 15 to 20 years. But when that bitch show up, everybody lay down. All
right.
Y'all get
yeah.
on the ground. Empty your pockets. I'm an earthquake. Go on, set that
yeah.
chain up off your neck.
I actually right. seen look up the YouTube. It's a YouTube. It was on WorldStar. It was a woman. She was obviously God fearing, but she was speaking in tongues while the tornado was approaching her house. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube and everything right now. You can see it. And she was speaking in tongues, and she was, you know, the whole shamala, the whole thing. And that damn tornado went right past her house, bro, on everything.
Damn,
that's crazy, man. I look at Florida because, you know, I went to college down in at FAMU down in Tallahassee, and, you know, you catch a hurricane off the Gulf every now and then. What's funny about hurricanes is that half them people ain't even praying. Like, they just leave town. I ain't gonna even lead us enough to pray. I'm out. But the people who stay have a hurricane party. I ain't never heard, like, a hurricane is the only natural disaster where
hurricane
people celebrate
party.
What's going on.
Wow.
Like, you can, dude, just Google it, man. People, like, will literally, hey, who gonna ride out the storm at my house? I got liquor, I got batteries, I got radio, let's get it up. I got a generator. And people chill in town for 5 and 6 days at a time, just drinking and getting drunk. My thing is, like, you know, that's cool for, like, a day. Like, you ever stay at a party too long?
Yeah.
Like 3-4 hours too long? Imagine
right.
if you got to be cooped up in the same house with some clowns for 2-3 days, road covered in debris, you can't leave.
Don't let
it up.
Stopped up.
And not just that, but if it's one of them bad storms where you have to start getting down with the rations and somebody got to be elected the leader, and then how many
yep.
females in the house, and you know, and who gonna hook up with who, and it's just gonna get crazy,
yep.
and somebody's got to go because we started.
And it's a damn party, so you know ain't nobody brought the right kind of food. So by day three, y'all niggas sitting there eating Rotel dip and granola bars, trying to survive. Yeah, we got a little Rotel left. It ain't warm, but you know that's what we living on.
Right, so
one bite of Rotel an hour.
Hey, Roy, we got a caller from you. Taisha's on the line. What's up, Taisha? You on the phone with Roy Wood Jr.?
Hey, baby. How you doing? Today's doing so good. Ooh. Listen what I did this morning. You want to know, baby?
What did you do this morning?
I shaved my legs. I feel so smooth. I feel so good. Ooh.
What
and
else
man,
you did?
What else I do? I went out and I got myself some nice pantyhose, and I feel so beautiful this morning. Well, all I want to do is just squeeze you up a bit, get my giant breasts, and tell you how much I love you and how much you make me giggle. That's all
right, well, I'm glad
do.
You laughed. I don't know about the rest of that shit, though, but, you know...
He do this for real. This is what he do.
That's what's up.
You got to bring out the big guns for Roy Wood, man. You can't just come at this dude with come out top flight. You got to come with the bulletproof vest and everything. Right. And come, this dude, he do this for real.
I just got a lot of love to give. That's all.
He said he hope you enjoy the love.
more just giving it. Just heavy
okay.
love all over the place.
All right. Well, yeah, well, you can get a love somewhere else. I'll just assume. Let's just say you did and we didn't.
Good
yeah.
job.
Okay. Hey, Roy, tell us about, first of all, I want to thank you, man, for giving us your prank calls, because those things are hilarious, bro.
Man, I appreciate y'all for caring enough to run them, man. It's a lost art form, I'll say that. You know, I know it's kind of weird to consider calling people and getting cussed out by my art, but it is actually kind of hard to do. So, you know,
yeah,
anybody
yeah.
that cares enough
you,
to play the
you,
stuff, man,
to,
respect.
To be real, it's you. It's I don't know if you ever heard of Carmen. She out. It's a dude, right? But he's syndicated on. It's one of my partners.
Oh,
but his name is
Carmen. Don't
Carmen.
Tell me the name. Don't tell me. Is it Carmen?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but he, you know,
Jenkins, Clarissa Jenkins too.
No, not Clarissa. I'm just
rattling off some cash. Yeah, I'm familiar with Carmen.
Uh-huh. Okay, Carmen, and then Big Boy and them, they always do that. Big Boy in the Mornings.
Yeah,
they always do the crank call, but you the only one that's
Luther
like
Lufe,
it's only,
yeah.
You like a lot of people don't get caught, like they don't fall for it, but you keep them to where they be like. Like when dude car got, I think what was the one when dude car got repossessed? Said car got repossessed.
Oh yeah, and he was like because
oh the bike repo and he started crying.
Oh man, that was stupid.
He started crying. He said, "Cause y'all, is it because I'm black?
I guess because I'm black. I don't know why I don't pay my bills." Yeah. I'll say this, man. Like I gotta tip my hat to Ricky Smiley because I came in Birmingham. Ricky Smiley's from Birmingham as well. And I was the cat that replaced him on the morning show when he left Birmingham. So Ricky had kind of already laid the groundwork for like 4 or 5 years of what prank calls were in Birmingham.
Right.
And so I had to come in and at the very least meet that bar. Like I couldn't come in and not be funnier than Ricky because at that time he was Mr. Comet View, My Name Lil Daryl,
yeah.
Friday After Next had just dropped.
Videos, music videos, all that.
Yeah, so he was smoking hot. So you come in and you replace the man in town, you can't come short. So, you know, I definitely got with him, and he was cool enough to kind of, you know, give me the game a little bit on some of that stuff. And we were able to get, you know, a lot of things done. And, you know, he just helped me out. So I took what he showed me and just tried my best to take it to another level and just come up with as crazy a scenario. Sometimes you don't even need a crazy scenario. Sometimes you get a person on the phone, and they just want to go at it. Some people love to cuss. Let's just start at that point.
Yeah, I think I like it too. I like cussing.
Some black folks are just looking for everybody. Everybody got that one friend in their circle that's ready to fight no matter what, ready to argue. They just wound up for no reason. So,
but we have
most of the calls.
What?
Got somebody from Atlanta on the phone. 404.
We have what's called an escalation of Negroism, like to where if you call the first time if you call we'd be like how are you? You say how are you doing? You'd be like how are you doing? Oh nothing. I just want to talk to you. Okay, no problem. And then you nice and civil. And it's something about the escalation of the conversation, like somebody saying, you know, you don't pay your bills because you broke or some shit. Then that snap it to you. Nigga,
yep.
Check this out. Who the fuck is you? Like,
you got to make that left turn.
Proper. Once you get them to snap, that's when you say, I got them.
Got them. Hey, we got another call on the line. 404, what's up? Call from Georgia. You're on the line with Roy Wood Jr.
Hey, it's Chef Desmond calling in.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Chef. Okay. Yeah. Hold on, Desmond. Hold on right there. Just listen in. Here we go. So, anyway, Roy, yeah, that's Chef Desmond. That's Chef. You got to have him come up to Alabama and cook
you
for
know
you.
What, man, I wish I could do that shit. Them chefs, man. Here's the thing about chefs. This is how chefs get the ass. They throw together something real extravagant, but they so good at it, they're like, yeah, you know, it's just no big deal, you know. It's just turkey lasagna with a homemade tomato paste that I made myself. I grew the tomatoes out back, and then I pound that down to a little bit of tomato paste and put a little light sodium in it. And I prefer to use tomato cream of tomato soup instead of water in my sauce because that gives it a more thick and more even feel. I use the ricotta cheese. And by that time, the girl butt naked. Meanwhile, at my house,
it's like, oh,
hey, bitch,
God.
I got these hot pockets. You want to split a hot? You want to split a box of hot pockets with me, bitch? Huh?
Yeah, I got these.
All right.
Let's watch
this red box and get naked.
Hey, Roy, did you get a chance to see Think Like a Man this weekend?
Yeah, I did, man. And actually, Kevin Hart was here in Birmingham doing shows all weekend. The brother, I got to take my hat off to that man. He came out to Birmingham and showed up in the theaters to thank people personally.
Wow.
He went from movie theater to theater around the Birmingham area Friday and Saturday night, just shaking hands and taking pictures and just being a good-ass dude. What I'm happy about is that the movie did double what Hollywood expected, which is
right.
A slap in the face because, you know, they thought it was only going to do about 15 mil, and it did well over 30. So
right.
What that's going to do is open the door for all kinds of other black films that don't start with the phrase Tyler Perry Presents.
Right, and that's really another reason because Tyler Perry's last movie didn't really do all that good.
Well, did you see the new Madea comes out? The new Madea, she's going to witness protection. I seen that trailer yesterday.
I didn't see it.
You got to see the. Hey, but anyway, it's funny. Cause
yeah, and there's no disrespect to Tyler Perry. It's just that we can't. It's not. We only got one person representing the race. That ain't cool. It wasn't cool way back when the Hughes brothers were the only ones, or
and
when
Tyler
Spike
Perry,
Lee was
Tyler
the
Perry,
only one.
Tyler Perry, he fell out with Spike Lee, and I don't know if they fixed that yet.
No, that ain't fixed. That ain't gonna never
they gotta
be fixed.
Fix that.
Spike
they
Lee's
gotta
still
fix
going
that
at that dude.
That's what I'm
they
saying.
Still
they
going at that dude.
I'm riding with Spike Lee. I just got to.
I understand where Spike Lee's coming from. I just don't get the reason for hating on it. If that's what black folks want to go spend their money on, just keep making your movies. Just do you. But to say you shouldn't wear no dress and you wearing dresses, all right, that's fine. But I bet you the church ladies ain't going to go stop. You want to stop Tyler Perry, go talk to the people who actually spend the money on them.
On that same note, one of my favorite comedians ever, Martin Lawrence, he didn't have to do that last one in the dress, bro, because that wasn't handling.
Yeah, I was dumb.
Big
sometimes
Mama
you
House
take that dress
three.
Shit too far.
Big Mama House.
You know what? I don't see myself ever being in that lane, man. Like, I already know I got too many morals to succeed.
I'm keeping it real. I can't do it, baby.
I can already tell you how my life
I'm already caked up. I'm caked up already. I just can't do it. I got a son. I got to look at his face and every day. I can't do it.
See, and that's what cats keep forgetting, man. The internet is forever. See, niggas, y'all need to understand. Like, right now, all the mistakes you're making right now, see, here's the advantage our parents have over us. Everything they did is just a story. You got to meet some old motherfucker who go, I remember, did I ever tell you about the time your daddy did it? And it'd be some funny shit about your parents you didn't even know. But now, it's on the internet. It's online. It's on iTunes. You can't hide. Like, all these ass whoopings you see on World Star Hip Hop with people getting knocked out, getting their ass whooped, 40 years from now, they're going to have to explain that to their children. And your child ain't going to respect you.
Wait a minute. What about that kid that got... The kid that got blacked by the little kid and got dunked and broke his arm and all that shit.
Oh, the bully, yeah.
Oh, when he body slammed him? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't going to be able to punk your kids. Go do your homework. Shut your ass up, daddy, before I body slam your ass like that bully did. Like, you ain't going to be able to do nothing. That's why I ain't putting none of my mistakes on the internet.
What about that little black boy that stole his grandma's car because he likes the hood rat shit?
Oh, I remember that guy. Is he in?
That was
they lock him
2012.
Up?
Yeah, they had him on SNL too.
That was Coney out there in Africa. He did that.
Coney 2012.
There's somebody getting knocked out every week on World Star. I hate to say it, but it'd be funny. It'd be funny. Did you see the girl last week? They got drug off the porch.
Oh man, for
this girl.
It's usually over a cell phone too. Is what's so cold about
Yo,
it?
Yo, these two chicks was Twitter beefing. The girl showed up at the front door. Chick didn't want to come outside. Chick grabbed her up, dish ragged her ass, did a Jesus stomp on her head, drug her off the porch, and whooped her ass some more in the front yard. Now, see, that's never going to get deleted from the internet. That girl is probably 20 years old. She's going to go in for a job interview. She's going to get a college degree, and 8 years from now, they're going to do a search for her. Because you know these job people, they run your name on the internet now to see what you've been doing and how you're tweeting and all that. Yeah, she ain't gonna be able to get no real job. Bitch, you got drug off your own porch at your house. You got home field advantage. How you lose in a building full of weapons, ho? How'd you lose the fight?
You're gonna be psycho, right? You're gonna be psycho, and you're gonna be like, the next motherfucking job I get, I'm taking everything. I can't wait to get hired at the bank. As soon as I get a chance, you ain't getting that job. I thought you said you were
Now you in a job interview trying to explain an ass whooping.
Man.
Can you tell us how, you want to talk a little bit about this ass whooping that you took back in 2006? Well, at the time, I said something about her man on Twitter. You remember Twitter? It was this thing we used to use back then. But anyway, the bitch, you know, she caught me. You know, she snuck one on me. And you know, just please hire me. I need this job.
Well, how often do you do the crank calls? How did that start? I mean, we know you told us the reception. Like, how often?
Yeah, it's now, man, not as much as I used to. At the peak, I was doing a new one every day for like 3 years. When I came into Birmingham, I came in, you know, co-hosting the morning show in 2001 when Ricky left, And I say from 01 to 05, I was probably doing at least 3 to 4 new prank calls a day. And then I moved to L.A. in 06, so I had to fall back some. But now that I've moved back home to Birmingham, I'm doing morning radio and all of that stuff. I'm in a different place now where I can do, you know, where I can do them a lot more often.
Are you actually doing them, or are you playing a lot of the old ones just over and over?
Nah, we cooking fresh new, man. Matter of fact, I need to send y'all this one that I did last week where I called Walgreens trying to get Zimmerman some jail supplies.
Oh,
getting ready for a stay in prison.
Oh, man. What do you think about pranking a Scientology church right now?
Uh-oh. Don't do it.
You know what? If I could come up with a good premise, I'll prank anybody. I've pranked cops and firefighters before. They're not the best people to prank because they really don't get riled up. But if I came up with something good for the Scientology, because for me, my stuff has got to be stuff where I got to keep them on the phone. It
Let's
can't just be something.
Let's take a prank of Roger's mom.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good.
Oh, man. My mom is hilarious, bro. You could prank my mom, she would just go crazy.
I'd prank a Scientology church. I'd just call and ask to speak to Will Smith.
He would Scientology?
That's what they say. That's a rumor.
Hey, Roy, so you on tour. You got a tour coming up starting in May in Ohio and in Maryland and back to Ohio.
Oh, no. That's all on ice right now, man. I get back to Cali. Yeah, I get back to Cali in 2 weeks. We start shooting a sitcom. I'm on this new sitcom on TBS. That Vince Vaughn is producing called Sullivan and Son. I play the black friend, basically. Is all
I love
you need
Vince
to know.
Vaughn, bro. Love Vince Vaughn.
But it's a funny show. My man comedian Steve Byrne is in the front end of it, and you know we got to start taping. So we'll be taping that through July, and once that's done, then I'll probably pick up some of the road gigs again.
Oh, that's big.
But yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say to you in a roundabout way is that I'm a lazy motherfucker and I ain't changed my website yet.
I ain't changed the website in a while.
You're out there with all the mosquitoes and tornadoes.
Yeah. If things are getting you, huh? Hey, shout out
to my
Twitter.
Let me go check my MySpace while I'm talking to y'all. Let me go.
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, shout out on Twitter to DT with Sean D out in North Carolina. They're listening right now. You know, they shout us out on Twitter. So let's listen to one of these prank calls real quick. This is the Auburn Frat Party. We're going to listen to this real quick. And then when we come back, we got that skinny chef. And we're going to talk about some of his seafood.
Chef, teach me how to make that tomato paste from scratch, chef. I can get these girls, man. I got to get my girlfriend back, chef. I got to know how to cook for her.
Well, we got it right here. We're going to be right back. Go get your radio. Check us out.
Hello?
All right, how about it, buddy?
Lord.
All right, do me a favor, put Horace on that phone for me, please.
This is Horace on the phone.
Horace, how about it, buddy? Chet Walker calling you about your grandboy, Jared.
What's he up to?
Well, sir, right now, you know Jared's down here in that fraternity down here with them football boys down there at Auburn University.
Yeah.
And they get to drinking last night, and my boy Devereaux's trying to pledge. And your boy then made my boy drink all that damn liquor, and the son bitch found himself in the hospital this morning with that alcohol poisoning.
What were they drinking at?
Well, buddy, they was drinking down there at the frat house, buddy, drinking that Jägermeister and all that shit, and tequila shots and all that stuff, and your boy's the one gave my son Devereaux all that liquor. Devereaux ain't but 19.
What was he doing down there?
Well, my boy goes down there trying to pledge at the frat house. Your grandboy Jared's already in the frat. And I'm mad in the song, bitch, I tell you what, because I got good reason to go down to Auburn and whip his ass.
Come on, try to whip my ass, you bad motherfucker. Won't you teach the damn boy to stay away in other places like that?
Buddy, why don't you teach your grandboy not to give people liquor and they ain't of age yet?
Fuck you and you damn boy, buddy. Why don't you come down here where I'm at and meet me halfway and I'll fuck you up?
Buddy, I'll whip your ass and go home and watch some nails.
You're a lying son of a bitch.
Black booty walrus.
The person you called is no longer on the line.
Hello.
You snaggletooth backwoods son of a bitch. You stay on the phone and you talk to me like a damn man.
You must suck your mama's pussy and your daddy's dick. Go to hell. Don't call me no more, son of a bitch.
The person you called is no longer on.
All right, let's call the grandson who put us up to this prank, man. See if he can help us get off the hook.
I got you. Hello?
Jared, it's the Buckwild Morning Show at 95.7 Jams, man. It's comedian Roy Wood Jr.
Oh, man, how you doing?
Hey, we're in the middle of prank calling your grandfather, man, up there in North Carolina. Do me a favor, call him on three-way and bring him back over to us so we can try and get out of this situation, all right?
Sure.
All right.
Mark.
Gary.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I'm at Auburn.
Where were you at last night?
Now, Horace?
Yeah.
Chet Walker again, buddy. Now, I got him on the phone. That's your grandboy right there. Now, you go ahead and listen to him explain it to you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You tell that guy to kiss your ass.
It is like your grandson is the reason why I don't even root for Auburn. Woo! Roll Tide, Alabama, all the way.
I wish I'd buy you. I'd blow your motherfucking brains out.
You ain't blowing shit but your brother Steve, buddy. And I tell you another thing. I'm going to report this to the NCAA, and your grandboy ain't going to be playing no football for Auburn no time. Soon he's going to get that suspension, and the Tide is going to win the SEC. Woo! Roll Tide! Alabama all the way.
Come down here to North Carolina, you motherfucking Melbourne son of a bitch.
You bring your ass down here to Birmingham. I ain't driving up to no North Carolina. Ask your wife. She know how to get to my house.
Motherfuck you son of a bitch. Come on down here.
I told your wife that she should put a booty on her hip so that she could sell some ass on the side.
You left a such good daddy's dick. It wasn't hard enough for you. It didn't throw enough cum in your fucking throat. Damn you, you son of a bitch. Just call me back. Fuck that.
Hey, it's a prank call. It's a prank call. Horace, we're sorry, sir.
You motherfucker, I'll blow your motherfucking brains out what I'll do to you.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Set this up, man.
It's 95.7 Jams, man. It's the Buckwild Morning Show. I'm a comedian. What? I'm a comedian, Horace. It was just a prank call, Horace.
Well, that's a good way to get
stuck
in
work. Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Kitchen, Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul
Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio. That's a good way to get your ass waxed. What do you say?
Good.
Hey, man, appreciate y'all for having me on, man.
Man, we know you got a lot of stuff to do. So in L.A., when's the show going to premiere? In about a year?
It premieres July 19th on TBS.
Okay.
Sullivan and Son is the name of the show.
It's on.
Definitely. And where can people find you every morning? So are you putting your morning show on hold while you're out there?
Nah, they let me do it. We got a satellite line or whatever, so I'll do it. It'll be as if I'm in the studio and all that. Same way Tom Jordan and them do it
earlier,
when they're on the move.
You got
yeah.
5 o'clock out here?
You want to ask?
4 o'clock, man.
You
want
to ask Skinny Chef? You want to ask the Skinny Chef a recipe real quick?
Yeah, Chef, all right. Cup desserts. Give me a quick dessert that I can make. Something out the box, man. Don't start me with flour and eggs.
Something out the box.
Something out the box, man, that I can make a chick think that I really, for real, like. Yeah, there we go. That's my question. What can I buy in the grocery store that could trick a chick into thinking I really cooked it?
Man, it's not too many things, man. To be honest, not too many things you can trick people with. No, not nowadays. Everything's so processed.
Blonde chick, you got to get a blonde chick.
You can always trick a fat chick. You can always trick a fat chick.
He's right. Fat. All right. So if I got a rotisserie chicken, Chef, and I just chopped up some apples and some onions and just sprinkle that shit on top of it, that ain't gonna trick nobody.
Actually, you know what? That rotisserie chicken they be having on the little end cap type thing. Those are not bad, because they actually cook those in house. So, you know, that may not be a bad idea.
All else fails,
something
go
good
to
on top of.
Go to Safeway.
All else fails, go to Safeway. They got everything. You just get the whole meal. Safeway has late stuff.
Just go get you some nice silverware and some dishes and shit. You good? You in the house?
I'm telling you, I'm getting these party pizzas and I'm cutting them into small triangles. Everything look gourmet when you cut it into small triangles. Make people eat it like it's finger food. That's all good, man. Appreciate y'all, man. Y'all hold it down, man.
Every morning, Monday through Friday, Roy Wood Jr., 95jams.com, and you can find them on
just Google Roy prank calls. That'll take you to every. I'm not going to bore everybody with a bunch of www.// Look, if you know how to speak English, Roy prank calls. That's it. If you can't speak English, my shit ain't for you.
There it is. Unless you're from Nigeria.
Nigeria. I am from the Nigeria and the American blacks. You will always understand.
Wait a minute, that Kitchen one lady said, run your big size 15 ass foot down here.
You know what I need to do right now? Let me get on this computer right now and do some drops for y'all, man, and get these emailed over to you, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We appreciate that, Roy Wood Jr. Thank you for being on the show. And I'll be looking for them drops, man.
Give them the clap. Got the clap going.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. Keep it going for the skinny chef, man. Keep it going for the skinny chef. On the line with us right now.
On the line, we got Seafood, the way I see it, Chef Desmond Cannon on the line, Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen, how y'all doing?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man?
Y'all caught me off guard with all that, boy.
Good,
I did not expect that. Y'all caught me off guard.
What are these clams? What's up with them clams, man? Damn.
I don't have any. I got some. I got mussels in there. I didn't have any clam recipes
that
in there.
Mussels. You know, I get mussels and clams mixed up, but that's what that shit. That shit look good though. Either way.
I'm talking about food. I'm hungry.
Yeah, they're the same.
I'm on his website, man. You gonna get hungry if you go to his website. He got the seafood. The way I see it. That's the book, right?
That's the book.
Yes,
look, you got mussels and coconut milk with lemongrass broth.
Damn.
Yes,
man,
that's
some real cooking stuff. Hey, so anyway, you can go to the website and you can get the book. I have the book right here, Chef. Look, can you hear it?
Yeah, man.
I have the book right
smart
here.
Smart man.
And it is autographed by you.
$14.99.
Diva Latifah. There it is. God bless.
$20 autographed.
Shout out to Diva Latifah on Twitter, who's actually set us up with that skinny chef.
Definitely.
And she also told me that you're allergic to seafood. Is that true?
No, it's funny. The foreword is written by my daughter. I had my 7-year-old daughter write the foreword for the food and for the book, and she starts it out by saying, you know, I'm allergic to seafood and all that. But a lot of people, once they get down to the bottom, they realize it's actually my daughter,
Morgan.
So a lot of people think when they're starting to read it out that it's me saying it, but it's her doing the foreword.
Yeah. Camacho only read half of it.
P.S. Can my dad make good food?
Well, I mean, you're looking at it for the recipes and for the food, so I can understand why I didn't go through the whole thing.
There it is. Oh, but man, you've done so much stuff. We're looking at your bio earlier, and some of you worked for all kinds of executives. You worked for the Mint, just all kinds of names. Tell us some of the places that you work, because it's just incredible. Just your whole from the beginning to the end.
How did you start cooking? How did you get into cooking?
Well, man, the way I started cooking was I was 15 and, you know, I was living at home with mom, and, you know, you turn 15, you got to get a job no matter what it is. You need to be working. So I went out and got a job at a place called Ryan Steakhouse. It's a, you know, family steakhouse / buffet. So, you know, I'm only 15, so they put me on the front just making the, you know, filling soft drinks and wiping the trays, you know, just a whole bunch of boring stuff. And everybody in the back was, you know, laughing and joking. So I told my manager, hey, man, I want to have fun like they're having at work too. So he said, well, in order to get back there, you need to learn how to cook. And so I told him, well, you know, just put me back there and see what I can do. So long story short, I worked my way up. In a few months, by the time I was 16, I was in there, you know, flipping the steaks and cooking the grilled chicken and working the fryer and all of that. Then went to International House of Pancakes after that. And, you know, at that time it was just work. You know, I was starting to love food, but it was mainly just work and the paycheck. And one of my managers came by and said, hold on, man, all your stuff looks like the menu. You know, it looks like the pictures on the menu. You need to think about going to, you know, culinary school. And I hadn't even heard of the word culinary. You know, so I try to figure out what he called me. So I'm sitting there for a minute, like, what you say? Like, you know, you color what? You know? So I took a step back and I said, you know what? Maybe he's right. I may need to go home my skills. So after I graduated high school, about 2 years after that, I went to culinary school, Art Institute of Atlanta, and started with a company by the name of Sodexo, which I still work with them now. I've been with them 10 years. And with them, I've been a chef at Federal Reserve Bank, Conference Center here in Atlanta, Bistro. And so, I mean, that's how I kind of got my start. And I also cooked at I'm sure everybody's familiar with the Big Church New Birth here in Atlanta. I cooked there for like 9 years and worked with the chef there pretty closely, became one of my mentors, and, I was able to do a lot of things after that.
Man, that's awesome. So working for Sodexo is just like way cool, right? They just got you going everywhere. You're going to the Olympics this year in 2012
right.
in London.
Right.
You've represented at other places. Where would you? The Rugby World Cup, 2007 Rugby World Cup, which is like
right.
super huge. How is it? What do you do when you go to those big places? You just are you the executive chef, just overseeing everything that goes on, or you actually cook?
Well, with this one, to my knowledge, the upcoming London trip is I will either be either one of the executive chefs over one of the segments that they have. I think it's the Caribbean portion, or I will be one of the executive sous chefs, like the number two. Or I could be the catering chef. So I haven't got my, direct complete assignment yet, but I think it'll be along those lines. But when I went to Paris, we didn't cook a thing, to my surprise.
Right.
We got over there. It was 12 days. We went on tours and everything because Sodexo was based in Paris. And so they took us to every place that Sodexo did food service in Paris, the Eiffel Tower, Lido, Bateau Parisien, everywhere. So for the Rugby World Cup, we were doing VIP food service. So they pretty much had partnered with another big-time caterer in France to do it. So we just came in and kind of helped them out, helping finish, the plate up for 1,900 and 1,500 people and things like that. So it was a pretty cool experience.
Man, so this book, bringing the book, what made you say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and write a book? And how hard was it to actually get it published and put out? How long did you spend on getting this book?
To be honest, from start to finish, when I really decided I was going to do it, it took me about 3 months to actually get all the content together. To actually go through the publishing process, it took me about 45 days, real talk. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason why I decided to write it was, every chef has a dream of, being on a cooking show or having his own restaurant or, and another one of those things is having a cookbook. So, I just decided one day that I'm going to go ahead and go forward with this book. And I talked to my wife about it, and I was like, look, when I come home from work, I need some zone-out time because I really need to finish this project. And so she supported me with that, and by the time I was ready for it, I had everybody saying, okay, you need, at least 150 recipes before somebody will look at you to publish it. And let me tell you the power of social media, man. I was talking on Facebook. Every now and then I post pictures of, my book, my work, and I
right.
put some recipes on my blog and things like that. So somebody sent me a message saying, hey, wrote on my wall, you need to have a cookbook. And I was like, oh, it's in the works, talking because I knew I was working on something, but it wasn't that big yet. And so somebody else saw that conversation, and it actually ended up being a high school friend of mine that was starting her own publishing company and said, look, you need to call me right now. And so she had 7 authors lined up to launch for her publishing company and didn't have a cookbook in her portfolio. So I walked right on in. We had 2 meetings, and I gave her all the content. And like I said, within 30 days, I saw my first copy.
Man, that's awesome. And so how is it just blown out, like blown off the shelves? Or are you still in Barnes & Noble? How can people get the book?
Well, right now, when we did the launch, I actually sold out all the copies I had on hand. And so now it's available through my website, chefdesmond.com. Just go to my merchandise page. And there's actually a link on my front page. You just click the book, and it'll take you directly to the order site, the order page. And on Barnes & Noble and Amazon as well.
So basically, you started this, right? You started. I'm trying to run a little intervention, right? Let me see if I got my partner on the phone real quick. Shannon, you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm right here.
So this is my partner, Shannon, right? He a cook and whatnot. He be cooking and chefing like Right now he working at TGI Fridays, right? He worked at Bowling Alley, chefing in the back there. He was also chefing at this what's the steakhouse spot you was at?
Logan Steakhouse.
He was at Logan Steakhouse out here in Sacramento. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He wanted to get into music, but I try to tell him, like, you know, the food industry, the chefs and all that, man, you know, that's a real comfortable, I don't want to say comfortable, but like when you master that chefing thing, you know, that's a good trade. Don't you think that's tell them a little bit about how you came up and how you know, because I know you started in the kitchen too. Tell them how you got motivated and turning it into something like how you got going right now.
Well, let me back up and tell you why I decided to pick it as a career. I mean, I did like it and everything, and like I said, at first I just saw it as a job. But, you know, once I went to culinary school, I started realizing, okay, this could be, you know, a career path for me. But you got to think about it. I mean, if you're a shoe, if you sell shoes, you know, you can't eat shoes at work. I mean, you know, if you're a cook, you can, if you're a chef, you can eat all day. So that's one thing. And then number two, people, I don't care what type of job you have or what type of lifestyle you have, it all boils down to, at the end of the day, you have to eat. And you need somebody to prepare that food for you. So there's always room for a chef. You be a musician, one day somebody, you know, and I'm not trying to discourage you from being a musician, but someday, you know, you may not be able to get a record deal, you know, or, you know, somebody may stop buying your music or the sound may change and things like that. But, I mean, when you're a chef, there's always some type of work for you at some, you know, somewhere, especially if you're good, because I don't care what happens, a recession or whatever, people still have to eat.
Got to eat.
So, you know, you're always going to have some type of avenue to get your foot, you know, back in the door if you get kicked out of somewhere.
You got some, Shannon, you got some questions for him?
Man, I hear all that, but, you know, sometimes, I ain't going to lie, sometimes it kind of, I've been doing this since I've been out of high school now. I've been out of high school 6-7 years, and I'm just kind of getting into the mode of the same routine every year, month after month, week after week, you know, barely making it. And I've been cooking since I was like knee high. You know, my grandfather and my dad, you know, I was born into the whole restaurant family and everything. And, you know, it's something I got a passion for, but then again, it's like I just don't want to be right here the rest of my life where I'm at. And it seems like every year, month after month, I keep doing the same thing to the point where it's like, man, do I even want to cook anymore?
Well, I mean, the majority of your your experience with cooking is in restaurants, right? No hotels,
yeah.
No.
Caterings and stuff like that, being a family, and then also at local, you know, restaurants and bars and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Well, one thing, I love family. I love them. But one thing about cooking for family, that's typically not going to help your career. I mean, you need to start networking with people that, you know, hey, you know, if I cook for this guy, you know, one or two events, he has friends that can turn into other bigger things and people who actually going to pay me well for what I do. Family is typically not going to do that, and it's hard for you to pressure them to pay you for what you really feel you're worth, because it's family. You know, you don't really, you know. You're in a hard
But you know, besides family too, I'm in a position now where I feel like it's the same thing with where I'm at in the corporate as working for these restaurants, because I still feel like I'm not getting paid what I'm worth, and it's just like, you know, they got this idea of person and people who they want, and I've been starting to realize that lately. So
right.
It's just kind of,
well,
you know, discouraging at this moment right now.
I was going to ask you a question.
That would be my second point.
Yeah, have you been to culinary school?
No, I ain't never been to no culinary school. I was, you know, I went to go check it out one time through a friend because he actually was one of the guys who was, you know, doing the doing the little tours and everything. But he kind of made me walk away for the fact that he was too much of trying to get that. I tried to go to, I think it was Kitchen Academy or go check it out, but he was too much trying to get me to pay that little deposit, or whatever it was, to try to get me a call. So that kind of threw me. I ain't going to lie. That kind of threw me off.
Hey, you know what? I got a frat brother that's out there. He's at one of them city colleges, American River, or Consumnist. He's at Consumnist. They have a culinary academy there. And I'll tell you, just from watching my wife started going to culinary school, and it just changes your whole outlook on the whole industry.
I just be like, everybody can cook. Like, you feel me? Like, the stuff that my partner Shannon, that he be cooking, man, like, I can't cook that. Like, I can't just go somewhere. I mean, I can probably fry some wings and shit, but I can't make no greens and mac and cheese and, like, for a whole bunch of people, like, for a whole restaurant of people. Like, that takes talent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying, like Shannon, what I'm saying is, once you go to culinary school, who's got their phone on?
Yeah. Turn your phone off, Shannon.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. once you go to American River or Consumnist, check out their culinary school. You get financial aid for that, so you don't have to worry about nobody trying to get that $40,000-$50,000 from you, right? And
yeah,
is that how much it costs?
It costs a lot of money, bro.
It's like fifty thousand.
Yeah, I tried to get into San Francisco Culinary Academy, and it was just way too much for me. I didn't want to do it, but.
Yeah,
and Desmond, do you agree that once you start getting in, you start learning the culinary industry, that your mind starts changing?
Of course. I mean, and definitely once you get that paper, you know, you look completely different to people now. I mean, a lot of people, you know, when they're looking at your resume or your bio and things like that, if they see that you have some type of formal culinary training, you know, that can make you look a little better. You know, even if it's just a certificate of completion, that lets them know that if you're willing to try to make this a career path. And there are people out there that want to help mentor people into, you know, making this a career. But if they see that you haven't taken, you know, those beginning necessary steps, they probably won't even look at you. And one other thing I was going to say earlier about restaurants, that's what happens in the restaurant culture. You think about most restaurants, they're chains. So pretty much you're doing, it's like cookie cutter. You know, every franchise is the same. All the food is the same. There's no room for creativity. And typically if you're in a standalone restaurant, there's one owner, there's one chef, there's probably his buddy, and, you know, there's no room to move up. But if you get with, like, a contracted food service management company like Sodexo or Your Compass or, you know, things like that, then there's so many avenues that you can, you know, go. You can go into quick casual, you can go into conference centers, hotels, and there's mobility. That's one of the reasons why I've been able to move around so much, you know, in 10 years. I've pretty much done just about everything within Sodexo, culinary-wise.
You know, and what exactly is that? What exactly is that?
Well, we do food service and facilities management, and so we'll go into, like, universities, schools, you know, business entities like, you know, Federal Reserve Bank. I was executive chef there, so there are places that employers want to provide that lunch or breakfast service for their employees every day, and they bring in contractors to do that. And they have chefs to come in and run that stuff, run all of those programs.
You know, hey, Omizi, look, I bet
that. Let me ask the chef this real quick. Do chefs have to, when put it like this, do chefs have to do a drug test after they become chefs? Like, have any of your new jobs that you've been at before you became a chef, is there any prerequisites of drug testing?
Of course, yeah. It all depends on the employer. Most employers do that now. You know, and
is that what we were talking about earlier?
That's the only thing.
Hella funny.
He's throwing his front out of the plus here.
That's the only thing. That's my old, when Ice Cube said, "You sell weed, but you smoke weed." And he said, "That's my only problem."
Hey, Desmond,
that's
you know,
my favorite movie, man. It's one of my favorite movies.
Hey Desmond, we got what? St. Mary's College out here, which has a great. I just ran into them accidentally. I ran into their to their cafeteria, and they have chefs. They do it all. I mean, you get sandwiches, spaghetti. You get all kinds of stuff. And Sodexo runs that area.
Oh, that's big.
I was just getting ready to say we probably run that. That sounds like us.
Yeah, there was Sodexo. There was one little dude that I guess he was the executive chef. He just walked around, made sure everything was cool. And
I mean, everything set up like a gourmet food court type thing.
It was real gourmet. I really appreciated that. And it was kind of cheap, you know, for the students.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Right.
In Sacramento, and Shannon, you need to go up there too, at UC Davis, bro. They just built a whole new restaurant inside the UC Davis, like, you know, the cafeteria. And, dude, this is the most I'm talking about, this thing is so nice, man. You might want to just go there for dinner just for the energy. But it's a hospital. It's a hospital cafeteria, you know what I'm saying? And they making steaks. They got sushi, pizza, stone-made pizza. Like, it's crazy. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I love to eat. 40 love to eat. Everywhere we go, we always trying to find somewhere to eat. We stay eating at Papa Do's and all that. And like, you got to – like, the food, like, just like you were saying earlier, man, everybody got to eat.
Right. That sounds like that may be us too.
Yeah. Look. Yeah. And yeah. Well, it was off the hook. Trust me, it's out here. And I just stabbed it up. I was just in Vegas with Coolio, and Coolio loved to cook. And he like, man, at the end of the day, homie. And he had that real LA accent. At the end of the day, homie. At the end of the day, homie. You know, I always know how to cook.
What's this thing called? The ghetto catering.
At the end of the day, homie. You know what I'm saying?
He's got a cookbook out too, right?
Yeah, he got a cookbook. He got like the YouTube, a bunch of YouTubes, cooking food and whatnot. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Catering parties and whatnot. I mean, I just feel like it's like being an engineer. Like everybody don't know how to engineer at studios, but if you can cook, say I got 20 people, everybody can't just cook for 20 people, 30 people, and make it be good and make them love you and all that shit, and clap for you and whatnot when they see you. You know what I mean? So my advice to people like Shannon and the rest of the world is, man, take it, at least absorb all the information, learn how to, you know, if I could go to culinary school and have time to do it, for the energy, I would do it, though, because I know I could probably write a book, I could probably, you know what I'm saying, get a TV show, and I see the big picture, just like how you see the big picture, Chef. It's like, you got to teach youngsters to see the big picture of the shit.
Right. And I mean, like you said, it's always, I don't care who you are or what you do. I mean, you can go to, you know, musicians, you can go to teachers, doctors, lawyers. They're always, you know, looking for somebody that can come in and do what you do because they can't do it. And they're always having, you know, networking parties and get-togethers and all of that. But, you know, they just don't know how to prepare all this food. And, you know, and people like to look good. So if you can come in and make them look even better than they already looked beforehand, I mean, that's, you got a friend for life.
Right.
You know?
Even on some ghetto shit, let's say on some ghetto shit, right? And I'm just using my creative Purple Kush mind, right? Right. If I was a cook and I could chef, right, I would go make me some flyers, right? And it'd be around Valentine's Day. And I'd say I'd be a personal chef, right? And then I'd be for the low, low, low. I'm going to make some fried chicken, some greens, some mac and cheese and shit, some cornbread, and real simple, some cabbage or something real simple I know I could make. And I guarantee you, if I say I'm going to go to somebody's house to prepare a meal and shit for them, I think I can clock some G's around Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the creativeness.
Yeah.
If you know how to cook, it's the creativeness of your shit that's going to make you, just like music, if you're creative with it, and know how to get out there and manipulate the system to where it benefits you, then there's no stopping you. You feel me, though?
There you go. And, I mean, another important thing is, you know, finding mentors in your area, man, that, you know, that are already doing it. And anybody that's successful and still true to the craft, they're looking for other people to help along the way because they want to pass that information down. And if there's nobody, you know, if there's nobody in your area that's doing that, I mean, well, it's got to be somebody. It's got to be somebody that's willing to mentor you.
Let me
tell
you something.
And that's another thing I was going to ask Shannon. I mean, have you reached out to you know, any chefs in your local area that you look up to or you see that they're doing, you know, some good things? Have you reached out to them?
Yeah, I reached out to a couple, and that's a couple of people I know, and they just ended me back up in, like, a different restaurant where they're at. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And then they end up leaving or something like that. So that's the kind of people who I know who I reached out to, and it just ended me back into another 9-to-5 or 4-to-11 job.
Understood.
But I think it's a difference. It's a difference between working at somebody somewhere like, oh yeah, I work at TGI Fridays, and then working at Scott's. Let's say Scott's Seafood, or you know what I mean. Like, it's
personal big, chef for somebody, you know. So.
Not even just that, because you still got to have a hella supplies to be a personal chef. You still got. My method was ghetto. My method was go to Safeway, you know, go get some hella. You know what I mean? Some shit that's the reddest. You know, that was my ghetto way. But I'm talking about if somebody really hired, like when you see, if you, like we were talking about Coolio, when you seen one of them episodes when they really had to cater, and this is a dude that, you know, so it's hard to do. Don't get it twisted. It is hard to do. But I just feel like if you know somebody like catering a wedding, like that shit is incredible, but that's big bread. I would think whoever was able to cater a whole wedding would get caked up. My partner worked dirty. He had a choice of, T-bone steak or pheasant. Like, I'm like, damn, whoever did this? And it was like 200 people. Like, I'm like, ooh, he got caked up. Like, I get the pheasant for the low and the steak for the low, charging full price, and I'm going to be caked up.
Hey, Desmond, let me ask you real quick, our chef, what is the Culinary Business Academy? That's something different?
That's actually something online that you can take. As part of the United States Personal Chef Association, and you go through that class, and you know, you pretty much read the material, and there's a test at the end. You pass that test, you have that certification as a personal as a personal chef, professional personal chef. So you can so you get the papers, you get the package with your jacket, and then you get entered into their database. So if people are in your area seeking personal chefs, you'll be in the database. And so there's other avenues you can take to, you know, start some baby steps.
And so another thing, what's Magic Johnson doing with Sodexo Magic?
Yeah, he actually has a company with Sodexo. He's the majority owner. Started it a few years ago. And they, I think the main business they do is college cafes and things like that, but it's on the same lines as what you probably saw at the other. I forgot the university you say you were at.
Rick. Yeah. That's St. Mary's College.
Yeah, but it's similar to that. And he brings the minority component to it as well for that business. And we were doing a presentation down here in Atlanta at UPS World Headquarters, and that's how he and I got to work together. So,
okay. Did you ever get
pretty,
to
pretty
ever,
cool guy, man.
Did you go to any college besides chef school?
Yeah, I just Atlanta Art Institute of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's where I got my culinary degree.
And that wasn't what's the one in Paris and shit and all that? What's the big ones? They be the Chateau Cadrus and
Le Cordon Bleu
and all that old extravagant ass shit. We had a show in Atlanta. It might have been Atlanta. The chef he had did like 15 years in the penitentiary. You know what I'm saying? He started cooking in prison. You feel me? And he got out and became a chef and wrote a book and some more shit. I'm like, anybody, if he could do it, you talking about Chef Jeff? If somebody could do it and they just got out of the pen, bro, you mean to tell me, come on, man, you playing with game.
Right. It's that inner ambition, man. It's that inner ambition. That's something that nobody can teach to you. You know, you gotta get out and get something.
Hey, when I go to Mexico or Tijuana, and we leave Mexico at 5 in the morning and 6 in the morning. You know who they're selling, what is it, tortillas and shit, walking in the streets past, they're selling for $1. Woo wow.
You
know, little kids and shit out there gritting and getting their money. You know what I'm saying, me?
some of them chiclets.
Wow.
Get out and get something. So, Chef, can we expect you on a TV show? Anybody been trying to holler at you about one of these TV shows?
Well, I'm looking at I'm trying to look at the next level. I mean, TV is, you know, regular TV is, you know, kind of normal now. People are going to internet TV stations now. So I'm in talks with one internet-based TV station. It's kind of like a cable station for TV.
Uh-huh.
Right now they have over 200 channels and only one cooking segment on it right now. So trying to be kind of like a, you know, kind of use that as a catalyst to get into another arena. Because, I mean, the TV chef thing, is so that market is so saturated right now. I mean, you're banging your head up against the wall trying to get in there.
I'm going to put him on blast. I'm going to put him on blast because I've been trying to tweet this fool forever, and he never tweeted me back. So, Chef Roble, you on blast. You don't ever tweet me back. I ain't fucking with him.
Hey, Chef Roble be wiggling, though, man. You can't go bad on Chef Roble.
I unfollow that fool, man. I try to unfollow Chef Roble.
I like him.
He's going in, though. But the thing about it, man, I walk around Atlanta, people, as soon as they see you in the chef coat, they want to holler, Chef Roble. I'm like, dude, Chef Roble is Chef Roble.
For real?
I'm pretty sure he doesn't want anybody else calling him Chef Roble, and I don't want you calling me Chef Roble. I mean, he's cool. I like him, you know, but, you know, let people be, you know, who they are.
Right.
Instead of trying to make somebody the next something else.
Don't you think it's tight how chefs are superstars now? Like you could really make a whole lot of money being a chef. Like one of my favorite shows is Top Chef, and you know, and all the Top Chefs and not the Roach Coach, with the ones where they had a little competitions from the different coaches out there on the streets, the street vendors, like even the street.
Yeah,
it's like street vendors something, but it's like even the street vendors, like the ones with the roach coaches, can get fame. Like it's just so many avenues for you to make money in the food industry. I just feel like
we're the new rock stars, man. You hear a lot of people saying that, but it's so true. We're the new rock stars, and
that's true. Because now you remember a few years ago, everybody wanted to be. Everybody wanted to be real estate guys. Now everybody wants to be cooks.
If you can make what's minimum wage at McDonald's? If you can make that much at McDonald's, minimum wage like 10 some or 9 some, dude. How much are you supposed to be making as a chef? A grip.
Yeah, but I mean, but the deceptive part about that, like when, especially if you go to culinary school, you have your, you know, certification for you're a certified culinarian and all of that. You come out, a lot of people come out arrogant, like, you know, I want me a $50,000 chef job right now. I got my papers. Like that doesn't work like that. I mean, you still have to come in, you know, and learn how to cook in a professional setting. You know, you've been in culinary school, you learn the basic techniques, but you need to know how to, you know, make that work for you in the real world. And
how long,
you know,
practically,
it's
how long? How long did the actual schooling take?
Well, I had an associate's degree, so it took me 2 years. And the school I was at the time didn't have a bachelor's program, so that's pretty much as I could get. But I mean, when I look back, that's all I needed. You know, people keep telling me, "Oh, go back and get your bachelor's." Like I'm cool. Like I'm doing, you know, things that you know, some dudes out there with you know, bachelor's degrees from the CIA. You know, the Culinary Institute of America, you know, and that's the top culinary school in the country. And, you know, I real talk, I got a couple of them calling me for jobs every month.
That's what I was trying to tell Shannon, that you don't have to go to that dude that's talking fast trying to get you a deposit. You can just go to junior college, and it's the same culinary degree, you know?
Right. And then let your skills come out after that.
Tifa just tweeted, she's listening to the show, she says, "How can I get a mentor?"
Wow. It's all about just asking. I mean, if you see somebody in your, you know, that's in close proximity to you, if it's, you know, a restaurant you visited a lot, I mean, just ask to speak to the chef, or ask to, you know, meet him or whatever, and just tell him, you know, blow his head up. You know, man, I admire you, you know.
you know, I know this about you, you did this and you did that. That's the path I'm trying to go on. You know, I'm looking for somebody to help me get to that point. You know, will you be interested in being one of my mentors? And the key words, you got to say one of my mentors, because if you ask somebody to be my mentor, some people will say, you know, I don't have time to be your only mentor, because, I mean, then you're going to be pulling everything from me, and I don't have that time. So you say, you know, I want you to be one of my mentors, then, you know, that it's kind of a little less evasive. Like, you know, now I figure that you won't be taking all of my time since I won't be your only one.
So one part of being a mentor, so just it's not the Big Brother, it's not the Big Brother Association of America.
You had to make candy games.
When you're talking about being a mentor, you're talking about, look, I got this job. Can I send you an email every now and then and ask you for advice? Right.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't mean that you work at Chevy's. I'm gonna go sit by your side.
Teach me how to make tostadas.
Yeah, I ain't gonna sit by your side every day making shit. Right. I mean, it's more a virtual mentor. You know, talk on the phone every now and then, send an email for questions, and get kind of pull advice from this person. So actually, somebody like you, Chef, could be a mentor to somebody, anybody, anywhere in the country.
Right. Virtually. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I actually did that earlier today. So, yeah, I mean, that is a type of mentorship as well. But, I mean, the mentors that I hit real hard when I started out were the ones that I had, you know, been seeing. And, you know, I went to them direct. And, you know, I just said, you know, if you ever need help with any, you know, any of your events that you're doing outside, you know, you need extra hands, help, extra prep or whatever, let me know. And while I'm doing that prep, I'm constantly watching them. Constantly listening to them, listening to their conversations, you know, seeing how they interact with people. Because that's the other part of being a chef that people don't understand. It's not just about cooking. You got to know all the other aspects. You got to know how to, you know, how to deal with finances. You got to learn how to deal with people. You got to know safety. You know, you have to know how to keep people motivated, because, you know, it's a tough job, a thankless job sometimes, and people, you know, kind of lose that motivation. So you got to know how to first keep it going for yourself, and then keep it going for other people around you. So it's a lot more to being a chef than just, you know, putting out a plate.
Shannon, Shannon, you got another question you came up with?
Nah, man. I'm just listening.
Hey, my partner Shannon, man, that's my homeboy, man. But he cook like a motherfucker. He just, you know, he just like everybody else, man. He got a vice, man. He got, you know. Smoking is a vice. Everybody got a vice. No disrespect. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I was just like, you know, I was just trying to, you know, I just try to tell people, man, there's so many, because at the end of the day, everybody got to have a trade, regardless of what your dream is. Like, I'm in the music business, man. You know what I'm saying? But so, I jet set, you know, we tour bus, we big stay, you know, the whole thing, everything that come with the package, no bullshit. And it's fun as hell. But I know eventually the shit is going to stop. And then when it stops, then I got to have something to fall back on. So, I have a bail bonds license that I may not use right now, but I do plan on using it in the event that, you know, this shit slow down. And I believe everybody, even if it's a barber or if it's, you know what I'm saying, something, everybody should have some kind of trade to fall back on.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. while I'm thinking about this, right. Omiza, get Rick has my email.
Yeah.
Get it to Shannon, and we'll, you know, we can talk offline.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna make sure I do that too. That's good. That's each one teach one. I wouldn't be nothing. So let me just say that, man. I wouldn't be nothing without my mentors, man. You know what I mean? Because I've always had mentors to teach me and lead me in the right direction. If I didn't have that, man, I always gear my mentors as the people that's successful. My mentors can't be broke shit. They can't be
there
broke.
You know,
my mentors got to be having it and doing it, and that's what keep me going, because they show me something that I want to attain and achieve. And my mentor can never be broke trying to figure out how they gonna eat, none of that type of shit. So. Yeah, I advise everybody, go out there, find somebody like the chef we got on right now that's out there wiggling, that got drive, inward drive, you know what I'm saying? And just a couple words, I'm sure, from you to my partner Shannon would point him in some kind of direction, because that's all people
right.
need.
I'm willing to do it, man.
That's what
I'm willing to do.
And I'm going to send Diva Latifah your way too. So you could be a virtual mentor. I'm gonna go ahead and sign you up for that one. Okay.
That'll work. We already communicating through Twitter, so we can do that.
That's all good. Hey, Chef, one more time. You can get that book at chefdesmond.com, Seafood, the way I see it, S-E-A, the way I see it, man. I'm looking at this crawfish etouffee. You know, in California, we don't really go crawfish etouffee, but I'm going to give it a shot. You know, what's the best way to do it, to make it happen?
Damn.
Follow that recipe. You got to get the book. they got to get the book, and they just follow the recipe, point blank.
There it is. So,
all right, let me ask you this, Neil. All right, do you make salmon croquettes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I watched
the bread stick, bread, let me see, crumbled up, what is it, the bread?
Panko crumbs.
Is it bread crumbs, yeah. or do you use crackers, crumbled up crackers?
I use panko bread crumbs.
I'm just telling you. Hey, let me tell you my recipe, man. I'm trying to figure out what salmon I could use out the can, because I usually get either the pink salmon. I used that before, and I use some other salmon that got hella bones in it, but soft bones that you break up with your fingers and shit. I've been using that for years, and I make my little two cans of mush of the salmon, right, and the mackerel. I think it's jack salmon mackerel, whatever. And then I chop bell peppers and onions. And then I throw hella crackers in. Hell, I just crumble up hella crackers, saltine ass crackers, right? And then I put
man, you sound like Roy now.
And then I put them shit into some patties and some vegetable grease, and I throw them shit to kill it. I tell you what's real, but I'm just saying.
The fat boy crackers, man.
And voila, you have it.
But should I use breadcrumbs though?
Yeah, I use panko breadcrumbs, man.
My man came with a question. You think I should use breadcrumbs?
Hey, I've been trying to figure that out because I know what kind of salmon to get. Like, what kind of, you know, I want to ask you what kind of salmon you use. You probably use natural salmon fresh out the ocean and shit.
Exactly. Alaskan wild salmon, yes.
And they got to jump out of the water before you. You can't catch them, motherfucker. You got to catch them with a net. You only can catch them with a net.
Hey, Chef, how do you get that sea salt shit out of their mussels, man, because the mussels, they always taste like the sea once you get them. Once you open them up, you get a whole mouthful of sand and shit.
Butter.
What you use, it's called purging them. You have to put them, soak them in cold water and just put a little flour on it. I think I put that in the recipe as well. Like, that's the beginning of it. In the directions, you put them in that flour, and that'll kind of purge out.
That's my main problem with them damn mussels is they always, I always get a whole mouthful of sand and shit.
Oh,
you got to purge them.
You make them yourself?
No, I go get the mussels, and then you don't make the mussels.
I'm just saying. If you're getting sand in their shit, you need to take them back.
We need to go down to San Francisco. We got a whole gang of mushrooms. Or muscles. Okay, so anyway, once again, Chef Desmond is on the phone, chefdesmond.com, Seafood the Way I See It. And if you buy it, is it still going if you buy it on the internet from chefdesmond.com, you still going to autograph it for him?
No, yep. That's yep. It's two different prices. It's two different prices. It's unsigned.
No, but right now, I'll run the regular price now.
Okay.
I run the regular
okay.
price. But they have to look. This is the thing. They have to put in the comment section, Soul Food Kitchen, Soul Kitchen Radio, or something like that.
Uh-oh.
They have to put that in the comment.
Soul Kitchen Radio. Thank you.
And then I'll sign it. I'll sign it at no upcharge.
Cool.
Right,
do us a drop real quick, Chef. Go ahead and do us a drop with Soul Kitchen Radio. Go ahead.
The Chef right. Desmond, that skinny chef. You listening to Soul Kitchen Radio?
It was cooking up. Oh, look, let me give you this drop that my other man did for Soul Kitchen Radio. You're gonna love it because this is what we eat.
Yo, this is Messy Marv, man, the boy Young Miss. and I'm fucking up some super nachos with my Mexican homeboy, Rick Camacho, on Soul Kitchen Radio. We need the cheese, man. What's happening?
Hey, you know who messed my order up, man? This on everything, man. Yesterday I went to Super Taco, man, for dinner. Me and wifey went to Super Taco for dinner yesterday, man. And I told dude behind the counter, man, they make bomb-ass nachos. But I told dude, he asked me if I wanted nacho cheese or shredded cheese. Do you know that motherfucker? I had beef and shrimp nachos, man. They was bomb. Don't get it twitted, man. But he put nacho cheese. Man, I was telling, man, I like shredded cheese. I was working with it, and it was hella jalapenos. I like jalapenos, but he put hella jalapenos. I was at the movie / Alberto's and shit.
Wow,
that's hilarious. All right, Chef, we're gonna let you go, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Appreciate you, man, bro. It's been my pleasure, man. Too, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. We'll link up, and you know, I appreciate y'all having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Off top.
Cool. It's all good. Hey, man. We'll have fun in London. Have fun and stay.
We'll do, man. We'll do.
Well,
y'all take it easy.
On Twitter.
Yes, sir. You need to follow my tweets while I'm in London. They'd probably be at a different, be early in the morning, but yeah, just follow.
I got you on.
Instagram some pictures of that food. That we live through that.
Yeah, we live through the food. I'll be making this shit. I'm making this crawfish etouffee. I just gotta find these damn crawdads.
Gotcha.
Hey, we did go to a place yesterday called Brenda's in San Francisco, and they had a crawfish bignays.
Oh yeah, bignays sauce.
No,
the
baked bagnettes.
Oh, wow. What is that? Oh, baguettes?
It's like a beignets.
Oh.
Some crawfish beignets. Yes. And,
wow.
And, man, that shit was so good. It was like a nice little muffin with some crawfish shit inside of it.
Oh, yeah, man, deep fried. Yeah,
deep fried, and they sprinkled some Old Bay on the top. Oh, shit.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, beignets are typically sweet. They're normally dessert, but the savory types, like them making, those are becoming more popular now.
I'm finna go eat.
Nachos.
I believe you some nachos.
Stewie up, man. Stewie Brothers is listening. The Real Sleep Dank, they listening on Twitter.
Stewie.
It's all gravy. All right, man. We out of here,
all right,
man.
Sir.
Chef,
all right, appreciate y'all.
Get that chefdesmond.com. When you order, put Soul Kitchen Radio on there, and he'll autograph it for you the same price as a non-autograph.
Hello.
It's all good. All right,
Will
and we
do.
Out. It's Soul Kitchen Radio.
All right,
see y'all next week. No me good.
Soul Kitchen Radio.
Wait, who is this 415? Is that Gail?
Yep, that's me.
Okay.